WGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
So we promised you the greatest active head coach in basketball, and we bring you the Butcher Boy instead. I think that's a fair deal. I'll tell everyone that Steve Kerr was supposed to join us at 6 o'clock tonight. Just be a little patient. He's coming up at 6:20. They were practicing, and they're going to get off the court, and Steve's going to join us in just a little bit. But in the meantime, the Butcher Boy is in here. I remember when he was a caller. Then he went from a caller to a caller who was given more time than any other caller. Then he went from a longer caller to, you know, why don't you come on in and do a segment with me? And then he went down and met the PD, who's like, you know, not bad. And now what do you know? Fast forward all these years later, and the man tonight at 7 o'clock has got his own show coming up. Chris Townsend is across the pond, which means we've got a Butcher Boy running solo tonight.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about head coaches. You know that my sixth grade girls basketball team went undefeated last year, so I'm still riding high from the championship.
Congratulations.
Look at you. Nice. Yeah. The parade, how was it?
Oh, it was fancy. Parkside Tavern. I mean, we did it big. All seven people.
Henny for all the girls.
Exactly.
Running
Jameson
around
with that crowd.
Fantastic, man. So, look, I don't want to say this because it could be misconstrued as condescending. It's not. I'm proud of you.
Dude,
I really am. I'm proud of you. I've seen it all. I called it all. I predicted it all. I was right about this one.
Oh, you obviously
right
have what it takes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the Blaine Gabbert of radio opportunities. I just keep getting chances. But honest to God, I mean this. Like, without you sticking your neck out for me at every turn, giving me extra run, giving me opportunities, vouching for me, like, I honestly, you've made a dream come true for me. You know that I didn't go to school for this, but I've pursued my way through this, and without people like you behind the scenes vouching for me, I would never have these opportunities, and I truly appreciate that.
Well, hey, man, we're not giving compliments to people who haven't earned them, and you've earned yours, and I'm looking forward. We'll absolutely be listening on the way home tonight. So I got to ask you, what are you hot on tonight? Like, what's your big story? It's awfully tough to do 4 hours on the excitement of the 49ers, who don't have really anything to get that excited about until the next draft pick. I mean, that's the shame of this year. There's no other real lever for them to pull. But it is Niners-Packers, and I'm guessing that interests you just a little bit any circumstance.
Absolutely. We're just going to do 4 hours of Kevin Durant leaving, you know, like, and then just do 8 more months of it. You know, no, really what we're going to talk about tonight, I went to Levi's for the first time. I had an embargo on Levi's. I wouldn't go down there. I was so angry at the organization, the ownership, the way they treated the fans.
I used to take the call. Damon, I will never set foot in. Oh, I heard it all.
Exactly. So I took my first pilgrimage down there. I've got a full review, and it's going to be fair. Like, honestly, it's hard for, I don't want to give it away, but I would say that it wasn't all negative, and I mean that sincerely. I really tried to go in with an open mind and not be prejudiced, and I actually had a great time. I miss live football, but there's a lot of flaws, and there's a lot of great things that we can pull from that. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to go over just where the Niners are as a franchise since opening Levi's. You know, the whole reason why they opened Levi's was to help the team on the field compete. And unfortunately,
right, a revenue stream that was currently unavailable.
Exactly. And then we're going to talk about the San Francisco Giants GM search, because I think this is a very nuanced situation. This could be the line of demarcation for the Giants moving forward. What ends up happening? You know, do you make the right decision and go into the future? Or do you look back into 1987 and try to pull the Wayback Machine and continue to do the things you've already done, which have gotten you to this point? So I'm very interested to see what the people think.
Why do you think LeBron was wearing short shorts last night?
He just craves attention. I mean, he absolutely craves attention, right?
But I don't know why you would crave it when you get it by default. Like, I wouldn't crave anything that was being jammed down my throat everywhere I went. Why would LeBron need more reason to take a picture of that guy?
I don't know. I just think he's the ultimate egomaniac. Like, I've always kind of thought that. Brilliant basketball player. I love watching him. And I'm actually all for this Laker-Warrior. It's never really been a rivalry because, like, we're never good enough, you know? So I'm ready to see the Lakers and the Warriors go at it. I mean, you know what? This unpopular opinion, I wouldn't mind if Kevin Durant went down there and teamed up with him, because I kind of want to see this Warrior team get challenged by one of their former teammates. That would be pretty cool for me.
It would be an interesting storyline. It would certainly up whatever rivalry you wanted to turn around and sell. I actually think that, you know, when I look at what Kevin Durant's options might be, what he could be looking at, whatever he's trying to do, and I said this earlier, Joe, like, if it's about basketball, you're not leaving.
Yeah.
If it's about money, you're not leaving. If it's about the internet, maybe you're leaving. Like, if Kevin Durant leaves the Golden State Warriors, the reason will be the snake emoji.
Yeah.
Not anything with any, it won't have any basketball or monetary reason that you could say, this is the reason why I'm doing it. Oh, okay, I understand that. It will purely be to silence the noise that he just can't take any more of, I guess.
And isn't that ironic that this is the heart of Silicon Valley and he'd be leaving here to appease the people that are on those platforms?
Right.
It's like crazy levels of Inception irony right there. But you know what? I'm just going to enjoy every minute of Warrior basketball because at any moment it could be gone. We saw with Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, the window's so open. And then he doesn't go out of bounds. And he has a non-contact ACL injury and it's over.
Yeah.
At any point, we saw last year, Klay got hurt, Steph got hurt, Draymond battled the shoulder injury all year, KD got hurt. This is a fragile thing. I was thinking game six, first quarter, it's over against Houston. I really legitimately thought it was over, and boy, was I wrong.
Ah, thank God you were wrong, because everyone wanted the Warriors to get through that. They did. They then, of course, say that they would have gotten it through it much easier without Andre Iguodala, if they haven't gotten hurt. I tell you, this is the guy that might be the difference maker this year, because Andre mailed in last year's regular season and so did the entire Warrior roster. Maybe if Andre is pushing that let's do it tonight button, it gets depressed easier every single night by this team. I don't want them to really challenge 73, 74. I don't think they're wired to ever think of that as a priority again. And really, they're at the point in time in their franchise's history, it is about the championships. But looking for a way to make the regular season more exciting, a bigger buy-in again, how about this? And I will ask Coach, my only request, and it's a big one, it's a big request, 41-0 to send Oracle out the right way. How about this?
Wow.
You got to take,
a
night. You got to take a night off. You want to rest Kevin Durant. You want to rest Klay, Curry, Draymond. Whatever you want to do, you go and you do that on the road. You want to kick it up on the road. You want to put your feet up and not try hard tonight? Whatever. I want every single game at Oracle to be played like it's game seven. Defend the building, send her out undefeated. How amazing would that be? It'd be better than breaking the single season wins mark again.
Did the Bulls do that? Did they go undefeated at home one year?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
No,
okay.
They didn't. I think the Warriors tied. The Bulls went 39-2. The greatest wow. home record ever spun was by the Celtics and went 40-1 one year at the Old Garden.
That would be an incredible send-off for the East Bay. I mean, the team was so supported by that community. And to see, it's a multi-layered, nuanced reason why they're coming to San Francisco. It's the cachet. It's a lot of different things. But it does suck because the soul of the franchise, you go out in front of Oracle, walking into that stadium, walking to that arena, 7 o'clock, there's a vibe.
It's a special place.
Right.
It always has been. And when we talk about what you are going to appreciate, appreciating it all, That building is one of my favorite buildings I have ever watched sporting events in, and it will remain that way. Like, the best case scenario is that when the move to Chase Center is made, everyone gets in there and goes, wow, this really is a cut above. And they did something that, Madison Square Garden would like to be someday. this is like the new Q Arena over in London. This is a next level, haven't quite seen this before type of arena experience. But, that was promised to us at Levi's, and we saw that blow up. You don't know what you got until you're sitting in it on game day. So who knows? You can promise me the world at Chase Center. I'm not going to buy your review or your critique until I go there and see it game one for real next year. The best the Warriors can hope for is everyone walks in there and goes, this is really cool, but God, I loved Oracle.
You know what's crazy? Damon, like 15 years ago when you were doing the post game for the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And I would call
the Dunmurphy sisters.
Thank you. And I used to call in to you. And I always think about that all the time because I don't think that a lot of people understand how bad they were for so long. No one cared. I mean, I know there was the 20,000 that showed up. I get that. But, like, to see what they've become, and if you really break it down, the Niners, their dynasty was phenomenal. They're going for 3 straight championships. 4 and 5 years, 5 straight finals trips. That's what they're trying to gun for. I mean, that's just, it's, I could never have imagined that scenario, Damon. I just couldn't.
Steve Kerr's winning percentage in the regular season is .808.
It's absurd.
It dips to .759 in the postseason.
That is so absurd.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I don't think that there's any question. He might not be regarded with the longevity and the appeal that Bill Walsh had at both Stanford and with the 49ers. But Boch won 3 world championships. That was pretty darn amazing. I think Steve Kerr is the greatest coach in the Bay Area since Bill Walsh.
I agree with that. And I think Steph Curry, I'll take it a step further, and I've said this for a long time. I think when it's all said and done, Steph will be the most beloved Bay Area athlete of all time. As great as Joe Montana is, we look at him, he didn't have the vines, the Twitter videos, the Facebook videos, the posts. Steph posts one every other minute, it seems like. And it's like, watch a game at Oracle, you literally see 7 or 8 moments from Curry every single night. Whereas Montana, you know, he's got all the different throws, the different comebacks. Steph's going to put himself in a spot. What he did for this franchise and where they are now, he's that character that ushered them into this particular run that they're in right now. And I just think that everybody loves him. Outside of this market, like, I see other people hating him because he's too, you know, he does a lot of flashy stuff and he celebrates for the balls in the hoop. But in this market, he is beloved.
Totally. I'll tell you what, there's another thing Joe Montana never ever had. It was this.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry.
I mean, that right there alone. The only real challenger to Steph Curry's all-time throne might be an on-the-sly, he was, like he said he would be, a career warrior, Klay Thompson.
Oh, well, he's Batman and Robin. I mean, that's Robin, right? That's the greatest sidekick who ever lived. No?
Totally. I mean, he could go down as synonymous as, like, Stockton and Malone.
Yes.
Jordan Pippen, Curry Thompson.
It's incredible. And he has embraced this area more than anyone. I mean, he's living the Jeter life.
If there were ever, ever, ever a guy who might be inclined to go to the Lakers, it's him. And you can't hear any Warrior say more about how uninterested they are in being a Laker than Klay Thompson.
Yeah, and he's just so funny. He's kind of got that stoner attitude. He's just, I don't know. He screams Bay Area. Draymond, I love the guy, but he's got Saginaw, Michigan into him. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Big time.
You know, crazy Swaginaw.
Absolutely. And, you know, like Steph, as much as we love him, we embrace him, he's tweeting out Carolina Panther stuff, Boston Red Sox stuff, and that's great. That's, you know, he's entitled to do what he wants. Klay is so under the radar, living the greatest life of anyone out there. I'm telling you, he is basketball's Jeter right now.
There is absolutely one athlete who will trump them all.
That's fine.
Who scored tonight. He scored tonight at the Garden. He's already a legend. By the way, the Sharkies are on the power play right now, 2-1 over the Rangers, third period, and we will update that accordingly. Coming up next, though, we've got Steve Kerr ready to go. We're looking forward to that. Joe, great to see you. Good luck tonight. Break a leg, man.
Thank you for everything you've done. We're going to have the fans forum tonight, Damon.
Awesome.
Because of you.
The Butcher Shop is open. Real quick, Gianna.
Join 95.7 The Game this Sunday at Hooters in Dublin for our watch party at Raiders Opening Drive live broadcast with Jim Cosimore. We'll kick things off at 8 a.m., then hang out and cheer on the silver and black when they take on Marshawn's former team, Seattle. Kickoff is set for 10 a.m. Be sure to enjoy food and drink specials throughout the day. For more info, visit the events page at 95.7thegame.com.
Head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, joins me next here on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
One of the favorite things I get to do here on the radio is bring you closer to Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Without a doubt, one of the most interesting conversations we've ever had the privilege to have on this show. We're going to do it every single Thursday, usually around 5 o'clock. We had to go a little bit later tonight to work around the Warriors' practice schedule. They're practicing down at Stanford, obviously back from Las Vegas. They're going to be taking on the Lakers again tomorrow night at SAP Center. Steve Kerr, brought to you by the Bay Club. Visit bayclub.com. Coach, a pleasure to do this again. Thanks so much. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, Damon. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be back again, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Before we jump into the particulars of last night and the upcoming year, we need to start with a congratulations. Team USA naming you assistant coach. That's big time, brother. I mean, your basketball life is truly one of the greatest lives ever lived by anyone in this sport.
I've lived a charmed existence for sure in the NBA and basketball in general. I mean, to coach with Pop is going to be awesome. I'm so excited about that. He's really one of my key mentors in my life and one of my best friends now. Really looking forward to working with him, and then also Jay Wright, who I know from Villanova. I've known him for a few years, and Nate McMillan, I've known for a long time. It's really a great staff, good group of guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Without getting too jingoistic, what will it mean to have USA across your chest?
Well, the last time I did that was 1988. I was trying out for the Olympics myself. I think it was the last year of the amateur Olympics for basketball. And I went three straight years playing in the program. 86 was the World Games. And then actually I didn't play 87, but 88, I tried out for the Olympics. And it was an incredible experience, obviously very different from now that you've got NBA stars playing. But it's different. You know, all of a sudden you're playing for your country instead of for your school or for your NBA team. And it's going to be very unique, and I've never experienced the Olympics firsthand either. So just to be there and to see the event and see the other sports, everything that's going on, will be amazing.
As I try to take this move to add you to the Team USA coaching staff, I look further down the road and I see a head coach in waiting, don't you?
One step at a time.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, then let's get back to the task at hand. Coach, I got a bone to pick with you. You ready?
Let's do it.
You're sending mixed messages at the beginning of the year. You're getting ejected for arguing with officials, yet your son is literally begging people to blow the whistle at practice.
Now, that's pretty good. How long did it take you to come up with that one?
That was this morning, sometime around breakfast.
I did not know that was going to happen. And then when it did happen, to see it blow up on social media like that was pretty funny. My family definitely got a good kick out of it. Our group text exchange was quite amusing. Nick's siblings were not very impressed. Let's put it that way.
They probably have watched him singing to the back of a hairbrush his whole life, right?
That's exactly right. It's not that impressive.
I tell you, your team obviously was tickled by it. To pivot to just all the whistles that you've seen so far and the stack that you decided to blow in that Phoenix game, I don't want to be here anyway. That was fantastic. What's the method to the madness here, Coach?
Well, the message anyway that night was, I don't want to be here listening to the whistle blow all night. I hope it didn't come across the wrong way. Like, you know, it's exhibition season. I don't want to be here anyway. It was the comment was really, I'm tired of all these calls. I'm out of here. But I know what's happening. You know, the league has decided to have a few points of emphasis, and I've seen this before. You know, preseason. The whistle blows like crazy, and they're trying to get guys to adapt to slightly different rules. And as a result, you get these games that are insufferable. You know, one whistle after the next, no flow. And last night was tough. The night before was tough. But I'm very confident that when the regular season starts, it'll smooth out.
How many games will Kevin Durant foul out of during the regular season?
I'm tempted to say zero. I think he's only fouled out of a few of them his entire career, maybe three or four, if I'm not mistaken.
But given what the way they treated him last night, I'll say one.
Okay.
It happened one time.
As you have watched what you are anticipating maybe being an issue for the offense that you're trying to run, are you using this preseason as a proving ground for different things and wrinkles? There's no way you guys are responsible for that many offensive fouls. So how do you coach around that?
Well, our screening has to be more disciplined. I mean, stuff that maybe we got away with in the past, we're not going to get away with as much.
It was all Zaza. Zaza was the best at the moving screen I've ever seen.
Yeah, but now he's not around to take the blame. But, no, we just have to be better. I mean, Steph, you know, one play when I got kicked out, you know, Steph set a great screen, and Kevin was, you know, 20 feet behind the play, wide open. And then at the last second, you know, Steph decided to sort of wrap his arms around Ariza, and they kind of hugged, really. I think Ariza was involved as well. They sort of wrapped each other up. But that's what the officials are looking for, even well after the play's over. You know, they're looking for that stuff in the preseason, which is the source of frustration, but it's something we have to adapt to.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. You spent media day talking about how much you wanted to enjoy it this year, and there was definitely times last year you were the opponent that you were coaching against was apathy more than it was whoever you were playing that night on the schedule. And look, it's impossible to tell you to turn around and set another NBA regular season wins record. And when you're looking at where you guys are, it really is about stacking championships on top of championships. But I do have one regular season request. It's a big one. May I make it?
Sure. What do you got?
41-0 at Oracle to send the old bird out the right way. That's all, Steve.
That's it?
That's it. 41-0.
Well, I don't know if we can quite pull that off, but I would like to return to our dominant home floor ways. I mean, that, my first 3 years, I don't know exactly how many home games we lost. I'm betting it was 10 or fewer a total.
You lost more games at Oracle last year than you did in your first three, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's got to be the case. And that can't happen this year. We've got to do a better job of protecting our home floor, and obviously some of that was injuries last year, and we didn't have great luck health wise, but we did when it mattered. You know, Steph came back at second round and was fine after that, and we got rolling. But you know, assuming we have a decent year health wise, and everybody's pretty much together, there's no reason why we shouldn't get back to our dominant home court ways. And that's definitely a goal.
Do you think this will be like leaving Chicago Stadium for the United Center in some way?
Well, that's an interesting analogy. You know, the one thing with the new arenas is it's hard to recreate the same intimacy that existed in a building, you know, that was built 50 years ago. You know, there's just a bigger footprint. And you get bigger concourses and suites and everything else. I do know that Joe and Peter have made that a real priority to keep the intimacy as best as possible. But it'll be impossible to match Oracle in terms of, you know, what we've seen over the years. The noise level in there, it's incredible, but a lot of that has to do with just the building and the architecture. And it's, you know, we're in a new era. And so we'll see. I mean, we're all excited for the new building, but we're all going to really miss Oracle as well.
You know, when the new building was announced and there was a groundbreaking, it was you wearing some Vans, by the way, super cash. And it was Kevin Durant, you know, not Steph Curry, Clay, Draymond. And to think of next year opening Chase now maybe without Kevin Durant, well, it's something people are actually thinking about. And I actually think that he has played his career with the Warriors perfectly. Going with a one-year option for another is his way to hold a system of checks and balances over this team. I think he and Kleiman are playing it brilliantly. You now have to turn around and, what, recruit your own player to stay throughout the year? How do you make Kevin Durant realize that there is virtually no way to improve a basketball opportunity. And any, like, if you ask me, if, you know, why do you think Kevin Durant left the Warriors if that ever happened? My answer would be the internet. I think the internet caused that.
Well, that's a discussion for you to have with your callers. I mean, we just coach and we just play and we enjoy each other's company and we have a great team and great guys and we all really, really are enjoying the process. In the NBA, nothing, you can't plan out long term because coaches get fired, players get traded, players leave. I mean, it's just, it's so fleeting. It's, you know,
I like your job security, Steve. I really do.
Well, for now, you know, that can change. But I it's a waste of time, honestly, for any of us to discuss that. And I understand that's part of, you know, the media stuff and the fan stuff, and they're going to talk about next year. But we're not going to address that all year. We're talking about this year. And we're excited about this year. We've had a great camp, and I think it's going to be a fantastic season. So there's a lot to look forward to, and you know, we got DeMarcus Cousins coming in at some point, and that's going to be interesting and a challenge to plug him in, and you know, at a point in the season when you know they're probably a quarter of the way through or so. He's an all-star player, and so I think our fans have a lot to look forward to this year in the regular season, to watch us grow and to see us develop. And I would encourage everybody to not worry about anything beyond this season. Let's enjoy this one.
I'll tell you what, people are saying you might need to be worried about the center position, I think, are a little out of whack too, because eventually the answer will be DeMarcus Cousins. Like, that's a pretty good answer to have if things don't work out early with what you got. But I think Damian Jones, Jordan Bell, these guys seem to be ready for the extra responsibility coming towards them this year.
I think so. Damian's been really impressive. You know, he's so strong and big and athletic, and he's really done some good things. He's really learning on the fly. His experience in Santa Cruz the last couple of years has prepped him for this. And Jordan and Kevon, you know, have both helped us win a championship and played big minutes in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs. So these guys will get it done, and we're excited about their development as young players as they continue to get better.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, I love the fact that you are always aware of the romance of that is happening between fans and their teams and sports. How romantic was it to take Kevin Durant back up to Seattle?
Oh, that was amazing. The vibe, you know, that was always one of my favorite cities to visit anyway, as a player and also as a broadcaster. Seattle's, you know, the Sonics belong in Seattle, belong in the NBA. And so for one night, it was so cool to see Kevin, you know, back in the uniform of, you know, the team that drafted him and wearing the Sean Kemp jersey out onto the floor was so cool. And the fans just, they went crazy for him. It was a great night for Kevin, and I think all of us enjoyed just the whole atmosphere.
Was there any discussion like, hey, play the whole game in the Kemp jersey? We'll know which team you're on.
Yeah, we should have gone with that.
It would have been great. It really was. It looked like a night where there were just a lot of hugs. And Durant, I see him signing autographs, and he's saying hello to like old fans and ushers. And that was from years ago. That guy's got a heck of a memory on him.
Well, and you know, it's been, what, I guess about 9 years, 10 years, whatever it is. So Seattle, it's a basketball hotbed. It really is. There's been a ton of NBA talent that's come from Seattle, and Sonics have a great history. And so it'd be nice to get a team back there. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I would love to see it happen.
I'm sure we're going to have plenty of opportunities to talk about Boogie Cousins' rehab, but all signs are pointing to ahead of schedule, as they usually do in sports. I've never heard any team say, my guy's behind schedule for sure. But that's good news. Is there any chance you think DeMarcus might rear his head before we reach New Year's Eve?
You're trying to pin me down here.
It's a very broad window I gave you, Steve.
It is a broad window, but we'll see. I mean, he's now entering into a phase where he's getting full court work, kind of two on two 3-on-3 stuff where he's really working on his conditioning and his movement, and he feels good. He's pain-free, and, you know, we will just continue to work with him, and we're not going to rush it by any means, but when he's ready, he's ready, so we'll see.
That sounds like he'll be back in Halloween to me. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Steve, one of the great basketball minds passed away yesterday, and obviously you had an intimate relationship with Tex Winter, who I was once told was the only guy Phil Jackson needed to win more than he needed Jordan. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I played for Tex for 5 years, and he was undoubtedly the greatest coach of fundamentals that has ever lived. I really believe that. And all of us who played for him today are saying the same thing, that the detail, the attention to detail that Tex had was so important to him and important to our teams. And, you know, he basically created the triangle offense, which eventually was part of, I think, 11 championship teams, you know, 6 in Chicago and 5 in L.A. with Phil Jackson. Beautiful offense. A lot of the elements we use today with the Warriors, the motion and the screening and the cutting, and it's just a wonderful way to play basketball. And Tex dedicated his whole life to the game. I mean, he coached his entire life at various stops and impacted so many people. And so he lived quite a life, and it was pretty jarring yesterday to hear the news, even though he was 96 and, you know, those of us who knew him knew he was fading, but it's still jarring when you hear the news.
I bet you he would have been pretty proud of that skinny kid who could shoot a little being invited to be an assistant coach on Team USA.
Yeah, he wasn't the most sentimental type, to be honest with you.
Oh, no? You would just...
No, you know, he was... Tex has an amazing story. You know, he was a Dust Bowl kid. His family moved to Southern California from North Texas when the Dust Bowl hit. And so the family was basically on a farm that went dry, and they had nothing, and moved to California. And he built his whole life around basketball. And played and coached the rest of his life. And when somebody goes through something like that early in their life, it affects everything that they do and the way they look at the world. And so I was lucky to be able to learn from Tex, not just about the game, but to see how he lived his life and what kind of a man he was.
By the way, there's no doubt that the way you look at the world is becoming more and more of what you talk about, what you tweet about. How are you feeling about things these days, Coach?
I feel good. I feel good about November 6th. It's coming up soon. So everybody get out and vote.
There you go. You ready? You ready for a little gimme some no thank you to tip off the year, Coach?
I am. Let's go.
Gimme some no thank you. Casinos.
No thanks.
Henny in the preseason.
What in the preseason?
The Henny. You guys were on the Henny to wrap up the year. Do you break it out to start the year?
There might have been some of that in Vegas. I'm not sure.
The Supersonics.
Oh, yeah. Give me some.
Your son's rap career.
No, thanks.
Fleet Week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give me some. I like that.
Pumpkin festivals.
No, thanks.
All-you-can-eat Vegas buffets.
No.
The Bellagio Fountain.
Yes. Love it.
Clay's beard.
Yes.
Your own beard.
There is one?
Where did it go? I saw one on draft day.
It was fleeting.
Kanye in the Oval Office.
No thanks.
Kanye in your office.
I think not.
Steve, you are the best. We're looking forward to a year with you. Thank you so much for being generous with your time. Have fun tomorrow night in San Jose.
Okay. Thanks, Damon. Take care.
Thank you very much. Warrior head coach Steve Kerr. Awesome stuff. He's fantastic every single time we talk to him. We hope that you enjoyed that. Indeed, as a matter of fact, I bet you we might replay that for you at some time a little bit later on tomorrow in case you missed it tonight.
It'll be on the best of tonight.
That's got best of written all over it, no doubt about it. When we come on back, it'll be to tip our cap and say thank you for listening to Say Goodbye. And boy, have I saved the best for last. Comedian Jay Larson is going to be in the East Bay this weekend. We'll let you know how you can get tickets. Very funny guy. He's coming up next. And then after that, The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, takes it away. The Butcher Shop, Solo Dolo, opening up here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back here on the Damon Bruce Show. One hell of a show today, if you don't mind me saying. Congratulations all around. Good job, Albie, Elena, Gianna. Fantastic stuff all the way around. Thanks to our guest today, David Carr, 49er fullback Kyle Juszczyk, Warrior head coach Steve Kerr. But my friends, we have saved the best for last. I'm here to say hello to Jay Larson, who I met years ago with fellow comedian Ryan Sickler when they were walking around doing the Crab Feast podcast, one of the original podcasts, I think, in the history of podcasting. Great stuff. Became friends with this guy, and I know that he is a huge Red Sox fan, and I said, look, if you got something to plug and your team is in the ALCS, you can come on the show and plug it. He is going to be over in the East Bay doing a little stand-up comedy at the New Parish, and I'm happy to welcome Jay Larson in, man. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, man, except that you just threw me under the bus behind Steve Kerr and David Carr. They're going to be like, wait a minute, better than us?
Saving the best for last here, man. Saving the best for last. Those guys entertain me, but they don't make me laugh. They never hosted a show where they got to go across America on someone else's dime and just get drunk. So you're kind of like my hero.
I mean, I think I'm a lot of people's hero, and I'm glad I could do that for everybody. It was a sacrifice I made for my family to go out there and get wasted everywhere, but it was something I was glad to do. And I'm stoked to be back up in the Bay Area this weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, where am I talking to you from right now? You down in L.A. home, or you out on tour?
I'm on tour. I'm in Portland, Oregon. I got a plaid shirt on, and I'm wearing gloves with no fingers, and I have a raccoon on my shoulder just trying to let everybody know I'm part of the culture here. Yeah, I'm on tour, man. I'm going to be here for a little bit, then going through Washington, and then up in Northern California, and then wrapping up this weekend on Sunday in Oakland, and I love it. I'm just going to watch games. I'm going to do my shows, get off, watch, turn on the Red Sox. You know what I mean? I don't want to rub it in anyone's face up there, and watch them dominate.
Nah, hey, I think you're going to do it. They were only the best team in baseball by a country mile all year long. I thought they'd be here, and what do you know? Here they are. Jay Larson is going to be here in the Bay Area. He's going to be at the New Parish over on San Pablo Ave in Oakland. You can get tickets at jaylarsoncomedy.com/tour. And what'd you work on for this tour, man? What are you coming with? A whole bunch of airplane jokes, I hope?
Tons of
airplane jokes and traveling, right? Have you tried this food on an airplane? Good stuff, I hear.
You know, the best, first of all, they don't give you anything. You got to pay for everything. The great thing about this tour is it's a lot of stand-up, but mostly crowd work. So it's a lot of crowd interaction. A lot of the comedy is, like, happening right in front of you. You know, the other day I was like, I asked this guy, I'm like, what are you doing, man? What do you do to help out society? He goes, I'm a doctor. And I go, oh, really? I'm a doctor? What kind? He goes, cancer. And I'm like, oh, my God, just the nicest guy in the world. And I go, really? What's your save ratio? How many people have you saved compared to? Because anyone can just know, see what cancer is. I'm like, look at this guy over here. He's got cancer. So it's like a fun show where I'm able to interact with the crowd. And then I go in and out of crowd work into stand-up and a bunch of new material that's different than my special that came out last year. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been having a great time on this tour so far.
Tell me about Corporate on Comedy Central. You just wrapped up a season of that?
Yeah, I did the second season. You know, they're in their second season over there. Great show. Two comedians, Jake Weissman and Matt Ingebretson, created it. So I did about 3 to 5 episodes this year, which was a ton of fun. It's a great show. It's dark. It's dark, and it's dry, and it's different than what I do, but super funny.
It's a funny show. It's like you guys saw Workaholics and were like, we can do something a lot more screwed up than that.
I think what Comedy Central said was, like, Workaholics was amazing. Let's go the opposite direction, you know? So that's exactly what they did.
Dude, you wrapped up a movie with Amy Poehler. First of all, what's she like? I love Amy Poehler. I think she's one of the funniest people in the world right now. And the name of the movie was called Wine Country. Like, that's where we're living, man. Did you shoot it up in Sonoma, Napa? What'd you do?
I have just a small little cameo where I play Rachel Dratch's husband. Rachel's the lead in the movie, and I play her dirtbag husband. And so most of it they shot up in wine country, up in Napa and stuff. But where I shot was in L.A. And, dude, Amy Poehler was amazing. She was the coolest. It turned out that we sat down, Rachel Dratch, Amy Poehler, and myself, and we all grew up within 10 minutes of each other. We all played in the same league in high school. And, like, Rachel's from, like, the rich town, and Amy and I are just like, oh, the rich kid in the group, huh? And she's like, guys, I was not rich. And Amy and I are like, whatever.
So,
super fun. That movie's hilarious.
What's the original hometown?
I'm from Stoneham, Mass., home of Nancy Kerrigan. Don't want to brag, but that's the truth.
Nice.
And then they're from, like, other Middlesex League towns, Burlington for Amy and Lexington, Massachusetts. The Battle of Lexington and Concord, ever heard of it? Damon, it's just a part of our country's history, just like Nancy Kerrigan.
Lexington and Concord, that's like an intersection, right? You can get weed there.
Yeah, Lexington and Concord. Yeah, man, let me get a dime bag over there, can I?
JLarsonComedy.com/tour. That's where you go get tickets. He is going to be at the New Parish over in Oakland this Sunday. Go see him. I've seen him. He's hysterical, very funny. I wish you the very best with everything, with your TV show, your big shot, with the movie with Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch, your big shot. I just, dude, just remember us when, remember the little people, okay? Especially when
I'll never forget you, man. You're the best, Damon. I appreciate it.
And if your Red Sox win the World Series, I mean, really don't forget us, because that's what Boston needs, another reason to believe in themselves and have more of an attitude.
I'm just going to enjoy what you said. I'm not even going to counter it.
Jay, wish you the best of luck with everything, man. Break a leg this Sunday.
Thanks, buddy.
Jay Larson, good guy, very funny. Go check him out. He used to host a show called Greatest Bars in America. He literally, on a network's dime, got to take cabs in between great bars in all these cities and just drink his face off. It's good work if you can find it, kids, but make sure someone else is paying for it. Hey, thank you very much for tuning in. Again, thanks to David Carr, Kyle Juszczyk, Steve Kerr, all of you, everyone, the whole crew. Awesome stuff. I heard a rumor that tomorrow is going to be a Fortinbaugh Friday here on 95.7 The Game. That should be a really good time. Until then, I'm Damon Bruce. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.